In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
You're tuned in to the Gangsta Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery with a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be listening to. Welcome to another episode, another edition of the Gangsta Chronicles. You are listening to Alex Alonzo from Street TV, a.k.a. StreetGangs.com, and I'm here with my two co-hosts,
Reggie Wright
and James.
And you are listening to episode 28, and if you're new to the podcast, please go back and listen to previous episodes, and make sure you catch our last episode, episode 27. And if you're listening on iTunes, actually, Apple got rid of iTunes. So if you're listening to Apple Podcasts, as of last week, Apple is getting rid of iTunes, so now it's just called Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a rating and a review so that we can continue bringing you this amazing content. You can rate us from 1 to 5, 5 being the best. And please write a review and also ask us some questions, and you might be able to hear your question on the air. And you could also share the link to this episode or share the link to the show to anyone in your contacts if you really enjoyed this episode. And for those who do not have iTunes, we're also available on Google Play. For Samsung and Android users, we're also on Spotify, and we love all our Spotify listeners, and we're also on radio.com. And you could also catch snippets, video clips of this episode on YouTube on the Digital Soapbox Network channel. That's the Digital Soapbox Network channel, and you could check us out there on video. And we got to talk about our live show coming up. Got to remind you, it's going to be on Wednesday, October 23rd. At 7 p.m., it's going to be from 7 to 9, so you guys are going to get 2 hours of content, of entertainment, and we're also going to throw in a Q&A right after the show. So please visit the GangsterChroniclesPodcast.com. That's www.thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com. Okay, our live show will be at the French Quarter Creole Bar and Grill at 16728 Bellflower Boulevard. That's in the city of Bellflower. And that's southeast of Los Angeles. I'd say it's about a 20 to 30 minute drive without traffic. But on that day, if you're coming at 7 p.m., it's going to be a little bit of traffic. So please leave early. And it's on the corner of Bellflower Boulevard and Flower Street. So again, visit thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com to get tickets for this first live event. And it will actually be the last time to see Reggie Wright Jr.
Before he left.
For 7 to 9 months. It ain't gonna be the last time.
Well, the last time for 2019. And you can find James McDonald on Facebook. Just search James McDonald and you see the profile with the red Harley. That's James right there. And you could also hit him up on Instagram at BIGGJ3636. He still has those amazing t-shirts. Hit him up at 909-800-6404 and you'll get those shirts within 1 to 2 days.
And we're going to have t-shirts, Gangster Chronicles t-shirts and those shirts at the venue. So come get them and support.
Definitely. And you can find Reggie Wright Jr. on Bomb First every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. I guess for the next 3 weeks or so. And he's also on Facebook and Instagram. At Instagram, he's at reggie.wright.jr. And you can find me, Alex Alonso, at streetgangs.com. Just click on the contact button and you can find all my links there. But I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at alexalonso101. So let's get into some fact checks from last week. Last week, I said that the Norteños and the Sureño conflict that started in 1968 was over a shoe that was stolen out of a cell. Now, some people hit me up and said it really wasn't about the shoe, and that person's partially correct. The Norteños and the Sureños were already going at it, but when that shoe was stolen out of the cell from that Norteño, it just took it to the next level. So technically, it wasn't the beginning of the conflict between the North and the South, but it certainly kicked it off. But as of last year, 2018, that conflict is over. Last week, we talked about the Fresno Bulldogs. There was a little bit of confusion if they were Northerners, if they were Southerners. So I did a little research and found out they were Northerners at first, but then they broke away from the North and became Southerners for a little while. Mexican Mafia did not embrace them after a short time, and then that's when they decided to go independent. So they're independent. They're the only, like, prison gang that's independent, Mexican prison gang that's independent from the North or the South. So that's that history. And then last week we mentioned Johannes Messerli, who shot Oscar Grant in the back. There was some issue about how old he was. He was actually 26 years old when that happened in 2009, and Oscar Grant was just 22 when that happened. Also, we were talking about what was the jury like. I think you brought that up, James. What was the jury like of Amber Geiger?
Yeah.
I looked it up. Of the 12 jury members and the 4 alternates, 7 were black, which is pretty impressive. 7 were black.
That's not what the news reporting.
Well, they didn't report the alternates. So we're talking about 16 jurors. Okay. So this is 7 of all of them. I don't know of the 12, but 7 were black, 5 were non-black but of color, and 4 were white.
And I don't know. Everybody I mentioned that to, it's like, ain't nothing wrong with it. I think it's something wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? Because if that was a black man up there or a black woman up there, then it would have been way different. You got black people like, this is okay. Convicting us, man. We don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. It's rough out there. When you get black people against you, this man ain't did nothing to nobody. And you get this lady 10 years.
Well, the same people that convicted her are the same people that gave the sentence too.
Yeah, the 10 years.
So we're applauding them for finding her guilty of murder, but we're not happy with the same people that just said 10 years. You know?
That's sitting in there and listen to it the whole time.
Yeah, but she ain't went. Did she go through a psych, and she did she had to get evaluated? The police chief.
Amber Geiger.
Amber Geiger. Did she
go through probation like we do out here?
Okay, so how the fuck she ain't fleeing insanity?
Because they have a different court system out here.
Okay, everything is something different.
It's
but
different.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's different.
Have you ever been sentenced by a jury? In California?
No.
Have you ever heard of any of your homeboys been sentenced?
A whole lot of.
By a jury.
Yes.
Sentenced
12
by a jury.
12 motherfuckers say guilty.
And they impose the sentence as well.
Yeah, they got convicted.
Usually the judge actually does the sentence in California state court.
And say how much time he gonna give you in the whole nine.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, yeah.
Not the jury. But in Texas, the jury decided how much
time. Okay, but that And that's the problem.
And the judge actually has the authority to overwrite the sentence of the jury. So the judge agreed. It's kind of hard to argue it because you had a jury of color, you had a judge of color, and you had other people of color that were part of this trial. And that's what it is. So I know you feeling upset because you had all these black people that helped find Amber Geiger guilty. The district attorney was also black. And
it was
at the end,
white one on the head one, the head guy was.
Yeah, one of the prosecutors was black, and we got a guilty verdict, but we only got 10 years. I mean, I wanted to see a little bit more time for that.
I think the whole case was crazy. You got the brother hugging this woman. You got the judge hugging this woman. You got this woman only getting 10 years. Then right after the trial, you got this boy. Botham Brown?
Botham? Oh, you're talking about Joshua?
Joshua. The boy just got killed.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But
no, I'm just saying, yeah. All in one. All of these different things that happened, and this lady got 10. Now they say this lady can file for,
appeal bond.
Appeal bond and not do no time at all.
Well,
she'll be on the street while her bond thing go through. But, I mean, man, is that justice?
Nah. I don't think so, but hey, at least she was actually off duty, but at least a cop was found guilty of murder. You know, I mean,
you got to have more than that, man, because this is a life that ain't did nothing to nobody. This man was in his own house.
But how do you feel that the brother is forgiving? The brother, Botham John's brother's forgiving Amber Geiger.
This is why I'm telling you, it got to be something more to it.
It's called a believer. That's what it's called.
They're hardcore Christians.
Being a believer.
And look, if you're really a Christian, and if you're really about them scriptures, you have to forgive. You know?
Move for yourself.
Why mama didn't go hug her?
Mama's on another level,
mama didn't go hug her.
Yeah. But I'm just... If mama, you're a Christian...
Mama probably was like Nipsey mama.
If you're a true Christian, you cannot judge or criticize Botham John's brother for hugging Amber Geiger. I wouldn't have done it. But you can't hate on it. If you're saying you're a Christian, you can't hate on that. Right?
There's so many ways you can forgive her as a Christian. You don't have to go and hug her. You don't have to talk to her. You don't have to give her a Bible and say, God, I love you.
The judge did that.
And
how many times have you seen a judge give a Bible
life.
To one of the homies after being convicted of murder?
Never.
She worked in the system. She probably knew her from coming in.
Probably.
The system and being in the system.
All right, let me finish the rest of these fact checks from last week. Amber Geiger actually did lie on the stand when she testified. She said she gave Botham Jean, J-E-A-N, that's French for those people who think I'm saying John. I'm saying Jean, or if you want to call him Jean. Botham Jean commands to show his hand. But his neighbor, Joshua Brown, said, I heard the whole thing, and I never heard that woman say any commands. All I heard was shooting.
He probably was bagging up some shit.
He was
making sure it was 448 in that file.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Joshua Brown in a minute. And then we talked about some of the racist posts that she posted on different social media sites. I won't repeat the one from last week. If you want to hear the one I said from last week, go back to episode 27. But there was another one she wrote. This was amongst other officers. Officer Rivera sent a text to Amber Geiger saying, damn, I was in this area with 5 different black officers. Amber Geiger response, not racist, but damn. So that was one of the posts that came in. If when you start off a sentence by saying, not racist, that's pretty racist.
You could tell that it's racist shit.
Yeah.
You could tell that this lady is racist.
She's completely insensitive to black.
Exactly.
This is black officers, by the way. This is if you were on the scene, Reggie Wright, she's talking about you. But other black officers.
That's common among.
They all
among
talk
cops.
About black. All white cops talk about.
They do.
Not all, but
you make black and white jokes all the time.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm not saying this right, but she was such a racist like that. Well, she been living in an apartment complex that apparently had.
There's different levels of race being racist.
Oh, so you want to live among them?
How many black people lived in there, Reggie?
I don't know, but we know
all
two.
Right, then don't make no statement like
but,
that.
But we're just learning.
We know three.
We know three.
No white people come. We know three. The lady that videotaped it, Bonnie or Bunny.
Okay, and then?
The one that got killed, Joshua.
Okay, well, three. Three in the whole apartment building.
No, I'm just saying we know of. That's all that thing came up. But this
ain't nowhere in the world. Yeah. Ain't nowhere in the world.
She wouldn't have been living among them if she's the racist.
Yes, she would have. Where's she going to go? You got to live among blacks. Where you going?
They got white areas in Dallas.
Shh. Okay.
I don't think that doesn't make you not racist because you live in an area that's
exactly.
diverse.
Oh, sorry, get the fuck away from them.
This is 2019, 2020.
She sleeping with. I think personally, she had a relationship with this young man and the brother.
Never texted before.
And they all interacted. This is why the brother hugged her. They were all because they were friends.
They were forgivers.
No, forgive her, my man. Don't tell me.
Was there ever any evidence that came up that Jotham Bond and Amber Geiger were connected?
Well, they said.
Well, y'all used to say that when it first happened.
Yeah, when it first happened.
No, after she was sentenced to 10 years, they were trying to figure with the heat of passion or something else, what they call it, Reggie?
Passionate defense.
Okay, so if it wasn't, so how can you say it was and it wasn't now? A passionate defense.
Wait, don't mix me up. I am not saying that these people was in a relationship or even knew each other.
I'm saying
I heard there was some noise complaints that were made and stuff like that, but I do not believe that these two were in any type of relationship or even
and ain't nobody gonna believe that this is the first time she ever interacted with that young man. Mm-hmm.
Nobody can say that.
Well, that would have been all over the trial.
Exactly.
You know?
No, because ain't nobody.
Well, he's talking about the sleeping part, not just bumping.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing? I get what Jay's
saying. They ain't talking.
Yeah. Well, I know what you're saying, Alex. You're saying a relationship. Jay's is talking about, hi, how you doing? You know, as we do.
And then, mind you, a lot of stuff was not able to speak on it.
That's true. They suppress certain things, and we don't know.
We don't know
the stuff that's suppressed.
Okay, so listen to Mama's interview, and then Mama pretty much telling you, but then she can't tell you because she don't want to get in trouble. So it's
they tell her. And the civil case would have told all of that. Now they wouldn't. I mean, we know we got three people that like to smoke weed, and so maybe they were all going
to
have
what the weed got to do with it?
My point is that's the only thing that connects the three.
Wait,
the three of them.
Not Botham Jean.
He smoked weed too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't hear any evidence that Botham Jean was smoking weed.
They were talking about that. And that's what some people say. They were going to get high together and smoke weed together.
Who knows? Maybe.
There's no evidence. People text each other when they have a relationship or communicate with each other. Not just, hey.
Yeah, that would have came
officer,
out.
Officer, you in the blue uniform. Come to my apartment and let's smoke some weed together.
Wow.
That would have came out in the trial.
He said there was three of them smoking weed.
I just said there's three weed heads. We know that now.
Okay.
We say Amber got caught. That's why she didn't get hired originally.
So she got mad at him because he clipped the blunt. Nigga, you going to take the blunt? Called him a nigga. He called her a white bitch. Pop, pop. And he killed him.
That's y'all with y'all.
She killed him.
Let alone with y'all.
Come on, man.
Know that right now.
All right.
I don't believe none of that.
All right, so let's get to a couple of these topics. The first thing I want to talk about real quick, we won't spend too much time on this, but last week, the East Coast Crips and the Kitchen Crips, the 8-7 Kitchen Crips, came to a truce after their 38-year conflict that started in 1981 when a little beaver from 8-7 Kitchen got killed at a party.
Wake up call.
By an East Coast Crip.
Wake up call.
So they had some meetings and basically... I know you're very familiar with the kitchens.
Man, I used to live over there.
Did you know Lil Beaver?
I went to Palmer Lee. I knew the majority of all those guys over there. I don't know the youngsters, these new guys of today.
No, Lil Beaver that got killed in 81 is what sparked the whole conflict with the East Coast Crips.
Yeah.
And the story that I was told is that Lil Beaver was actually trying to kill an East Coast Crip, and his gun jammed, and then the East Coast Crip pulled his gun out, killed Lil Beaver right there at this party.
You know what? What year was this?
1981.
I can say about that time was when I can sit here and tell you about a whole bunch of, you know, guys on each side of the fence that this happened to. One in particular is Lil Buttons, was my granddaddy's neighbor. I knew him since he was a baby. He was 14 years old, and the conflicts back then were, I'm talking about shooting every day. This was an everyday thing. This is when they was coming to Drew Junior High, and the wars was on. You be in a situation, man, you can't break out of it. You can't go this way and you can't go that way. You couldn't go to school some of the damn time. That's why a lot of us just hung out, you know what I'm saying? But they've been beefing for a long time. And, you know, I don't want to name all of these guys that, you know, keep players and shit in that. Because, you know, I know a whole bunch of Kitchens. I know a whole bunch of Swans. I know a couple of cats that I ran into that was East Coast. But, you know, it's a wake-up call, man, for these guys. Just think, man, we done lost too many black men behind this shit. And I applaud, and everybody else should applaud, these guys for stepping up and saying we tired of this shit.
I agree. We got to give Lil Doc again from 6ix9ine East Coast, Porky from Kitchen, Kitchen Mo, and, I mean, I wish I could remember all you guys' names. I know I'm missing a whole bunch of names because there was dozens of people at the table.
You know, you got Steel Bill from Kitchen.
Oh, Smokey, OG yeah, Smokey from Smoke. Kitchen.
Yep, you got so many cats over there, man, that played a big part of that. You know what I'm saying? Cats that's still doing time in prison. So you got to think about all of this shit that's going on and how the guys in prison feel. You know what I'm saying? You got a whole lot of lives lost over one situation. Bloods and Crips. You know what I'm saying? One thing we got to realize, we ain't getting no month, no check for it. We ain't moving up in the world for what we doing, killing each other. We look silly. And these guys is waking up. Man, we tired of, our kids got to grow up on these streets. And our kids are getting killed. If y'all ain't seen it, you still an OG, but my son just got killed. Man, come on. Let's stop losing our kids. And these dudes woke up, and everybody, they just gotta keep doing it. Keep believing that this can be done. You know what I'm saying? 6 months from now, let's look far ahead.
It's changing. The game is changing now in the streets of LA.
It got to. And but you got a lot of kids out there that don't have that big homie that just don't care mentality. And that's what's gonna kill it.
Nah. Nothing's gonna kill it. The momentum is too strong right now, and we're at a point where a lot of these OGs that are 40 and over, they're going to start to outnumber those voices that are not with it.
I hope so.
And actually, I can tell you this. There was a little skirmish that happened between the Florences and the East Coasters about a week ago, and they nipped it in the bud. I don't want to go into too many details, but they nipped it in the bud before it could explode, and that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. One thing, you'll be more successful when you had these meetings. No marijuana, no getting high, no drinking. We ain't kicking it over here, and then we going to a meeting. Come on, you ain't thinking right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Stay sober, and let's just be positive on what we need to do in saving lives. This ain't about no gangbanging shit no more. So let's keep it on a positive note. It ain't about the Kitchens. It ain't about the East Coast. It ain't about the 7-0, the F-13s. So let's stop making that the big part of it and just make it where it's nothing but men getting together trying to defuse a situation that's been going on for damn near 40 years.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know, what a lot of people say in these discussions is that this is bigger than me. This is bigger than our hood. Yeah. It's like you just said, it ain't just about East Coast or Kitchen or Florence. This is the bigger picture, you know.
The hood don't give you nothing. The hood don't give you nothing. The hood don't do nothing but take away, period.
Okay. Tekashi's back in the news. His trial ended, and they found those two brothers guilty. A few days ago, last Friday, I believe they were found guilty. That would be Anthony Ellison and Aljamia Mack were both found guilty of racketeering. Mr. Mack was also found guilty of conspiring to distribute drugs. And Mr. Ellison was convicted of the kidnapping of Tekashi, maiming and assault. But they were also acquitted of some of the charges. So it's not a lose-lose situation for them, but I think the stuff they were convicted of is enough to wash them up. I think the interesting thing here is they pushed Tekashi's sentencing date to December 18th, and there was a report that he doesn't want any not protective custody. He doesn't want witness protection, which is a suggestion that he feels like witness protection is only for people who are free. So he doesn't want witness protection. But we'll find out more after a sentencing.
That boy think he gonna get out and go right back over there. Then that little boy, he wanna die. Ain't no way in the world. If anybody agree to him, no witness protection, because they'll let you walk out of there and go on back to doing what you're doing. Now, you think he can survive in the streets?
Well, I don't think he's not gonna go back to his part of Brooklyn right away.
Where he gonna go?
America's big, man. Sammy the Bull Gravano, when he testified, he moved all the way to from New York. He moved to Arizona, almost 3,000 miles away, and that's where he ended up bringing his family and raising the rest of his kids.
And he can't go out of the country because they ain't gonna give him his passport immediately.
Yeah, he's not eligible to even go to Canada or Mexico. He'll find some corner of America to post up, get online, post, do his videos, do his music. Get his beats emailed to him by somebody in Europe.
You know, he ain't gonna never do no concerts or no shit like that.
He can do no concerts, but he can still stream.
I think he can do concerts abroad. Well, in foreign countries.
Yeah, foreign countries. If he can get a passport.
Oh yeah, that's right.
If he can get his passport.
Well, if he's released and he's
gonna have to be on probation.
His case is done.
I still don't believe they're gonna give him time, sir. I still believe he's gonna do about 5 years.
Okay.
To 7 years, but he's still gonna be on supervised release, and he's gonna have to have a probation, probation officer or whatever. I don't think they're gonna give him his passport. But they may. They're gonna make some money.
Look, they got what they wanted. They got their convictions. They got.
But you still gotta have credibility of the court, and the court's just not gonna let you just walk on those type of charges.
I agree, but shoot, when you let a guy like Sammy the Bull, federal court, same court actually in New York, they let Sammy the Bull walk 5 years for 19 murders because they got their man John Gotti, And this ain't nowhere near, you know, a John Gotti case.
So he just walked out of prison.
He did. Sammy the Bull did five. Well, he didn't disappear. He moved to Arizona and started selling ecstasy and caught another case. Yeah, 17, 19, but he just got out of that case last year. So I think that Tekashi's going to get a sweet deal for cooperating.
Oh, sweet deal is anything under 10.
Oh, I say a sweet deal is like.
He was facing 47.
Yeah, that's a lot of trumped up charges, though, that 47. I'm going to make a prediction here. On December 18th, Tekashi's going to get sentenced to 36 months. Because, you know, the feds like to give you your time in months. Yeah. I say he's going to get 36 months. He's going to have already a year credit. So that's my prediction. 33 years. What about you? Reggie?
I'm in the five range, the 60 months.
60 months. What about you, James?
Man, I don't know.
Time served.
No, I thought he was getting out in January. That's why I'm biting on that shit. Time served. Hey. But what he did.
His attorney is requested to get the trial date moved to December from January. So maybe they know something.
I wouldn't be surprised if he got time served with some sort of ankle bracelet monitoring for the next couple of years. But I'm going to go 36 months. He's already a year into a sentence. Well, we'll see. All right. We briefly mentioned Joshua Brown early in the beginning of the show. Initially, everyone on social media was like, this is a conspiracy. How does the witness, they're calling him the star witness of the Amber Geiger trial, the one that said he heard the whole thing and she didn't give commands, gets murdered a week and a half later? It's like it's like unheard of, Reggie.
We in the game. You always taking those chances.
Well, we didn't know he was in the game until some recent.
He had been shot before. He had been shot a year before.
Okay.
He was a victim of some type of shooting, and everybody wanted to make it like he just all of a sudden just standing outside and got shot. No, he was doing a drug deal and he shot someone first. He was the shooter who shot one of the guys in the car, and then. His homeboy, returned fire and shot him. We knew that.
So this is sort of like a Baby Lane thing.
Where did you see this at?
I read.
I know. Where did you read it at?
All over YouTube and stuff like that.
I ain't seen that nowhere.
Yeah. Okay, well. You don't read.
But no. So he's the victim. He's really, these guys might get off on some self-defense shit.
Okay, so the assistant chief of...
help you motherfuckers more with y'all. Man, you with know y'all what? Conspiracies.
It was conspiracy my ass. It's just all of a sudden, this man get killed, knocked down. Now you got three more motherfuckers involved. I mean, it's
New Orleans from Louisiana.
It just
now, the question
tells
y'all
you,
should be asking is, why the dudes got to come from Louisiana, not to Cali, but to Dallas to get some good weed or to get some pounds of weed? Those are the questions that need to be answered, you know.
Or did they just go to Louisiana to escape?
They took a four-hour drive to him. They
came so in. These guys are from the state of Louisiana?
Correct.
Okay.
The three guys.
All right, let me just say what they announced. They said that Jaquarius Mitchell and Michael Diaz were taken into custody in Louisiana by U.S. Marshals. A third suspect, Thaddeus Charles Green, remains on the loose as of this broadcast. So there three people are involved in this homicide, according to the Dallas Police Department.
You don't see nowhere about the man, one being at the hospital and getting arrested?
No.
The hospital from a gunshot wound?
No, but they did announce that this was a drug deal gone bad. So even though we got suspects arrested, people are still thinking that something smells here. Something's not right.
Because, y'all, in this media, YouTube, social media, conspiracy world.
You those, are, too.
I'm not a conspirator at all.
So what
facts
what,
is facts. This man shot first, and they returned fire in a drug deal. Don't see nothing wrong with what those men did.
Well,
don't have a problem with it.
If that's the case, then conspiracy theorists are going to have a tough time trying to link this to the police. If that's true, a lot of people are saying the police knocked them down for testifying against Amber. But I would say that if they really wanted to get him, why get him before he testifies, after he testifies? Yeah, right? That makes no sense.
Play devil advocate on that.
Okay.
Because everybody knows this big civil suit coming up, and so they'd be like, okay, they got to get rid of him. Because he can, you know, he gonna mess up the police department civil suit. That's just what the naysayers will say.
So that couldn't be possible?
Not if everything's the facts that I reported just
with
happened.
With the way that some of these police officers are acting on the street, what you stopping it for? What happened?
Well, if the police were really involved in the killing of Joshua Davis, why wouldn't they have done it before the trial? It don't make sense for him to testify against Amber Geiger and then kill him after the trial. Right, Reg?
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, for the naysayers or just to try to play devil advocate, people will say, well, the civil trial was about to come up and that they needed, get rid of him because he was going to hurt the Dallas Police Department or the city of Dallas in that lawsuit.
Civilly. Don't you think it's possible, though?
That he would have heard, I mean, that
all,
his testimony.
All the facts ain't out there.
Yeah.
So, don't
his
you
testimony
think it's
apparently was good.
To say that they wanted him out of there. So,
the young man, Mr. Brown, her statements because she was saying that he said, gave some commands. And he said he never heard those commands. And so.
And he talked about hearing him sing gospel music. So, he obviously had a line to hearing everything that was going on in his apartment. You know, he talked about everything that was already testified about. So he confirmed a lot of the stuff that he would be doing as an apartment.
And just for the record, I don't believe any of that. I'm just saying why I understand what people are saying about he could have hurt the Dallas Police Department.
So you don't believe that Joshua Davis could really hear everything that was going on in Botham Jean's apartment?
Oh, no. I believe that.
Okay.
I lived in apartments before.
Yeah, thin walls.
I have never lived in an apartment before. But I have visited people that lived in apartments before. So I know how stomping and music from the top to the bottom floor and all of that, how you can hear it down there, everything going on in someone's apartment.
Well, let me say that I can entertain a very logical conspiracy. You know, like, I don't believe a plane ever crashed into the Pentagon in 2001. I think it's a little bit too early for everybody to jump out on this as a conspiracy, but there's still a lot of things that I'd like to know about Joshua Davis getting shot. Like, I haven't heard from any of these three suspects.
Is that his correct name? Is it Brown?
I'm sorry, Joshua Brown.
Correct.
Joshua Brown. There should be a camera in the parking lot of where this thing took place at. There should be some footage of this. Yeah.
Let's just remember, guys, there's three other people that's still alive that are going to have to be able to tell the story. I know they're suspects in this case, but Dallas Police Department is not going to bank themselves on three 21, 22-year-old black guys. They are not that stupid.
Okay, if the Dallas narrative is true, they're basically painting Joshua Brown as he was a little gangster. And if he was a little gangster, does that challenge his testimony against Amber Geiger? And can she appeal to say, look, this killer or an attempted killer, if the Dallas narrative is true, James, testified against me in a court case where I got 10 years in prison. And I'm going to argue that I got found guilty mostly because of this guy's testimony.
Yeah, I think they already knew that, though. I think they already knew he was a little shady. You know, this was a victim of a gunshot. You know, not saying the people to get shot are bad people, but generally, there's some circumstances when you got shot before in the past, and you wasn't just a victim. Generally, you were out hanging and doing it. So they know a little bit about his past, I believe. To say that he had 12 pounds of marijuana sitting up in his apartment at the time or he was dealing like that, I don't think they knew that.
But, none of that mattered how he was living at the time. He testified to what he heard.
His question was, does it mess up his credibility?
Yeah, I agree, James. It doesn't matter, but in the legal justice system, all that stuff comes in.
It's a loop. Yeah. It's a loophole that they use. Because right now today, I've been out of prison since 1988.
Yeah.
If I catch a case right now, they're going to use everything I've done at 16 all the way to now.
That's the first thing they normally do is attack your credibility. I remember on our boy Trayvon Martin, they attacked his school records. They went and subpoenaed his school records and his attendance and all of that to try to dirty Mac. I'm just trying to say how, you know, unfortunately law enforcement do you.
Yeah.
They try to mess your name up or discredit your background.
And it's a cold thing because this man is dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So nobody speak about the police, how they attack you. You know what I'm saying?
And it's not the police. It's usually
the media, the media, police,
and the prosecutors as well.
And those tactics are fucked because they shouldn't do that. Yeah. You know, how you going
to... All the defense attorneys.
Yeah, put some bad on, somebody that's dead.
Yeah.
Well, so on this case right here with these three guys, if these three guys are, like they saying, and he shot one and in the chest and he lost his life behind it, something totally different. Something totally different. Can't go around it or whatever. But if not, then, I mean, you know, this shit has happened before.
Well, Michael Mitchell's 32, and his nephew, Jaquarius Mitchell. Jaquarius Mitchell is the one that's in critical condition in the Dallas hospital right now. So
So they said one of the guys is talking, though, right?
They got
because
to be
talking.
Because
they have to know why he shot this one twice.
Somebody talking.
So he landed, the one that's laying down is the one that's actually saying, he shot me twice, and I can still hear while laying in the back.
He might have done what's called a dying declaration in California. I don't know if they have that in Texas.
He ain't dead yet.
Well, they don't know. Yeah. If you're in critical condition, you
I
can
think
die.
Like Jay said, it was the one in the back seat that's talking.
The one that got shot first. He got popped twice. The one that hopped out the car, Brown popped him, pow, pow. He falls in the back seat after he told him to get back in. He falls back in the car.
No.
And he can still, I just played the thing. So he's saying that he's laying down in the back.
He said he made
and he's just driving.
He said he drew him down to get in the back seat of the car.
And then he shot him twice.
And he said, but he shot the one that he was out fighting with. That's the one that he shot. The one that he was fighting with, got in the fist fight with.
So is the one that's in the hospital in critical condition the one that was fighting with Joshua Brown?
Correct.
That would be Jaquarius Mitchell. He's just 20 years old, youngster. Youngster.
They are youngsters.
They all young.
And then, Michael Mitchell, his uncle, is 32, and Thaddeus Green, who is still at large. Well, I'm not sure if he's still at large as of today or if they already got him in custody. Thaddeus Green is 22, another youngster. Man, it just seems, the timing of this just seems crazy. He just testified in one of the biggest trials in the country and then ends up murdered in a drug, and then what they're saying is a drug deal gone bad.
Once again, you got tragedy, but you still got to say, okay, man, we got to learn from these mistakes. We not learning. We talking about them. We discussing the shit, but we not learning. We not taking heed to what the hell is really going on. Our lives don't mean shit. And ain't nobody in this room. It's six black people in this motherfucker. And can't nobody say our lives matter. You know what I'm saying? And then we criticize the things like the East Coast and the Kitchens and all of these guys, these organizations getting together and ceasefire, we criticize that, but we overlook and just discuss what's happening to us. That ain't cool. We got to understand what the fuck is going on and take heed to it and then apply ourselves to what's really going on, man.
You don't think things are changing for the better, though? I mean, we had a trial where the judge was black, one of the prosecutors was black. They had majority black folks on the jury.
That don't matter. Some black people just don't get it.
If this was 1950, Amber Guyber would have been walking, right? 1950?
No. 2000 and...
Not even 1950, right?
2013.
We don't even got to go back to 1950.
Prior to, and we got to give
Kaepernick
some credit. I really believe that this social, you youngsters on the social media and all of that is bringing awareness to the justice system and to law enforcement to say, hey, we're not going to tolerate that. There's been a lot of cops that's been put on trial in the last two to three years that wouldn't have been put on trial if it wasn't for social media, I really believe.
Or just the cameras.
Yeah,
all
that's what I mean by social media.
Yeah.
You know, you can't let them all go. Somebody got to be a scapegoat. Somebody got to be, you know what I'm saying, accountable for it. And then when they're accountable for it, they're not getting that much time. They're not getting life in prison. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's up to us, man. Well, we're sitting
that's
here.
An argument there.
There's been some officers
killed.
Stretched out, though.
And no, maybe, you know,
y'all not getting what
black,
I'm saying,
we've been
man.
Giving that black judge a lot of flack, but maybe we need to think about this.
We not giving her black ass nothing. That woman shouldn't have. How many judges you know come off the stand and hug a convicted felon? I wish they'd have hugged me because I wouldn't be as bad as I was.
Well,
now somebody love me. Somebody cares.
Well, yeah. she was a public servant. Yeah, like Reggie said, they probably knew each other.
Yeah,
they probably personally knew each other.
I knew a lot of judges.
All right, see, there y'all go. That's why I say the talk. Everybody
it has to be accountable optics. For their shit.
The you optics was terrible.
I mean, I saw
if you got if you got a bad cop, you treat that cop just like this bad criminal, this bank robber, this gangbanger that's killed his cousin or whomever.
I agree with you.
You treat him like that.
You're right.
Agree
James.
Bullshit.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't treat her no better.
It what? A mistake. This is.
It don't matter if it was a mistake. A life is lost, Reggie.
She's still a convicted
You
got to
pay for it. Unfortunate is a black man that's dead, which they don't give a fuck. This lady only got 10 years for this man's life. I'm worth more than that. Come on, man. Understand that part. I'm worth more than 10 years. I'm dead, though. My kids, my everybody, I'm going away from that.
Accidents.
And then now she can go through the loophole through papers. I don't care if it's an accident. You accidentally kill a black man and see how much time you finna get.
It depends on how I do it, I'm sure.
No.
An accident is an accident.
An accident is an accident.
Negligence is another thing, and premeditated is a third thing.
It don't matter, man.
Okay.
Well, Texas.
Glad I don't live in your world.
Texas found her guilty of first degree
murder. I live in a world of understanding. I live in a world that I know the cards against me. And this is one thing we really need to do. Everybody out there know that the police got the power. No. And with my understanding, 25 years ago, I know they got the pen. Everything they write in this motherfucker is going to be said in court. Now, you got to understand what they doing. And you got to play that game to a certain extent if you want to survive and live in the streets. You got to give up that slack. If you don't, you're going to get your ass whooped or you're going to get killed out there.
Well, like I said, we're giving the judge flack, and she wasn't the one that sentenced
him. I'm not giving the judge,
she
Reggie.
Wasn't the one that determined that 10 years was the correct number.
That's not the point. It's not the point whether she gave the lady the sentence or not. That don't matter. That black judge read the newspapers and see what the fuck happened to her people, to black people, all around America, all around this goddamn world. Then you're going to get off the stand and go hug this lady? I wouldn't give a fuck if she was white. She could have been a Mexican. She could have been an Indian. She could have been a Chinese. That just don't happen.
It don't happen.
So she didn't have to be, it didn't have to be no racist shit, but.
I'm just saying she shouldn't be catching flack.
She should have kept that cordial and went to the back.
About the time. So we fighting over apples and oranges.
I'm talking about the hood.
The hugging. The hug.
No, I'm just saying what she did is
I'm talking about the time. Unorthodox. I was talking about the time.
That's not cool.
And you want to go into something
back to the Joshua Brown situation. How often do people from Louisiana make a 5-hour drive to get some weed?
Man,
is there an easier way to get the weed?
If your connect is that far, you're going to go that far to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You got cats coming Alexander, from Texas.
Louisiana's a little hick
it
town.
It don't matter.
That's a little small. But they're close to the border of Texas, but it's a little small town. I have some stories about Alexander.
Man, you got cats coming from Mississippi to here to pick up their shit and go home with it. It's just that bad. They don't have the grade that California got. And I don't know why. You know what I'm saying?
They
open
soil.
All these things.
California
I don't know why.
They got the richest soil.
Well,
and the indoors. You know, we... No.
Go ahead, Reg.
They have, you know, the indoor quality versus the outdoors and you know, the white boys got the game.
But also the soil in Northern California produces not just the best weed, but all kind of crops.
But you're talking about outdoors now.
Yeah.
And most ghetto niggas don't even fuck with outdoors. That's mainly what the Mexicans have, but that's the cheap. They call that regular.
Humboldt County.
All that stuff in Humboldt County.
The shit that niggas smelling when you be getting in their cars and you smell that good, that's that indoor grown shit. You know,
even on the weed shit, motherfuckers go for smell opposed to how it really tastes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't never smoked, but I had some shit where it was sticky and smelled good. They wanted that opposed to
exactly.
You know, the bomb shit.
That's what they go on the smell.
I mean,
and
to
that,
each his
that
own.
Sticky and that, yeah, I mean, that.
So it's not unusual for some guy from a small little hick town in Louisiana to pull up in, when they pull up in Dallas, Dallas is probably a huge city to them.
They probably got a lot of outdoor, a lot of trash out there and stuff like that. But that dude probably had some connect where he was doing some indoor and he had some good quality, high grade marijuana.
And Dallas is crazy, too.
Yeah. They look stupid on the lawn.
That is crazy in the mud.
Or anything in the south, that's all.
So do you think there's something fishy about this story, James, about how this brother end up gunned down?
Well, it's early, and listening to the things that we listening to and listening to these tapes and all of that, I say this situation has to develop before anybody can just really speak on it. But if I had to speak on it right now, I would say it's fishy. But I can't do that because there's so much other stuff involved. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite and then have to come back and say, let me clear this up. Now I got to go on bomb first and say, well, I done did some shit wrong. I done said something I don't know. So, I mean, we just got to wait and see.
Well, we definitely got to wait and hear what the 20-year-old Jaquarius Mitchell's got to say, the guy that's in the hospital. Hopefully he makes it. They say critical condition. So,
well, if he make it, then they good. But if he pass, one of the other two going to say something because they're looking at big time.
Hey, I think it'll be real fishy if Jaquarius Mitchell ends up dying. I'm going to say, okay, this guy's dead. We got the other dude dead.
If
one
guy
still on the run.
The other two, well, the other one that's caught, he got to do the whole thing. Now, if he come up missing, and then they find the other one, and he dead, all four dead, then we got a problem.
Well,
something different.
I wonder if
well, that's a whole lot of killing.
If Jaquarius dies, can his uncle be charged with that death? Because they do that here in California sometimes.
Yeah, they call it the felony murder rule.
Yeah.
Well, they said they're going after capital murder warrants.
Yeah.
But, you know, law enforcement do overcharge sometime. And I can see a good defense attorney doing a defense for the three young men. Hey, right now, if you decide you want to shoot James and I pull my gun out and shoot you, or you pulled your gun out and shot James, and I pulled my gun out and shoot you, that's pretty much the...
Well, y'all got me on the ass end of the shit.
Okay,
we'll do it another way. I ain't finna get shot by now. One of y'all.
But, you know, isn't that kind of like self-defense?
Yeah.
Because the next person after you shot James, usually probably would have been me who was going to point that gun.
It's only self-defense if he pulled his gun out and shoot me and I shoot him back. What that has to do with
it,
you?
It can do me because who's next?
Well, you could have used the police theory, I fear for my life.
I can use a regular citizen theory that I fear for my life because I just saw him shoot you, and there's a good chance he's about to eliminate the witness from my past practice, in my experience. Get rid of everybody. So I can see a good defense attorney making a self-defense.
For both of the Mitchells that are in custody.
The only problem is they were committing a felony to get to that point, and they have that in California. We have that felony murder rule, which they kind of.
But did they get caught with all the drugs? Because they got away. Oh no, they dropped him off at the
whoever's
hospital.
Whoever's talking, and I, it's still unclear to me who's the one
of them
talking.
Saying one of them got talking. The weed.
It's got to be the
gun.
Other one.
And took the gun.
Yeah,
and so supposedly got rid of the gun.
How the hell y'all?
Yeah,
do that?
I hadn't really sat down to figure out who.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises? Or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Well, let me read something that the attorney for Botham Jean's family said today. He says, I have no reason to believe that the Dallas police conclusion, that their conclusions so far in the investigation are unreliable. But I believe some members of the community will have a difficult time accepting it because of his association with the Amber Geiger trial. So that comes from the attorney for the family of both Botham Jean and Brown, the guy that was killed. So the attorney is accepting the Dallas police story so far.
Yeah.
James, I know you're disappointed in that, right?
Man, I really can't bounce because, you know, it's just...
Some things are just what it is.
Yeah, it is, but goddamn, how many black people you know that literally like act like that? You know, it's Texas. So anything is possible, I guess. I don't know, man. I can't even comment on that one.
I know you're going to say... There's a 0% chance that his death, Joshua Davis, is connected to the Amber Geiger trial. 0% chance, right? That is connected.
You know, some of the people will say, well, damn. Which I think James answered earlier. Or maybe you asked that. Why would you go and...
wait this long.
No. Why would you go and purchase some weed from somebody that's been all on the TV and then this big high-profile case?
Mm-hmm.
Some people might say that. You know, sometimes you kind of might want to stay away from that person like that. But what I know is when you got a connect, and that's your connect, then you go to them. But usually you don't fight with your connect either. So that will show me that maybe these dudes weren't connected like that. And maybe they were just about to rob them. So I would like to know the history of how long they've been dealing with each other.
That's what I wanted to know, if they had a relationship. Yeah. Did these guys come to Dallas normally to pick up their...
Well, somebody hook somebody up, yeah. Somebody yeah. to talk to somebody.
And trust me, they got phone, Texas. They got some conversations somewhere. I mean,
it's all going to come out in the next few months.
Yeah.
And then especially if you don't know a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? And you see three cats, you don't just come out with shit and just, all right, here, give me the money. Woo. Come on, man. It's rules to it. So, yeah. I mean, it's sound was smart. Funny.
I mean, if he had 12 pounds upstairs and he only came out with one,
They got 12 pounds. The police seized 12.
After they went into his apartment.
We're talking about the suspects only got one from him. They only brought one down
the show.
Correct.
This is what I'm working with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or that's all they had money for. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know the deal.
Did you guys hear
that's a good point. It could have been just a show and tell.
Yeah.
After Joshua testified, did you hear the judge actually say, I'm surprised he showed up? It got caught on the audio, but it's real low. Mm. So the judge was actually surprised,
like I said earlier,
that Joshua even came and testified.
Oh, yeah, he was subpoenaed.
The judge actually said, after he finished, she says on it, I'm surprised he showed up.
Because a lot of people was like, well, if you're in the game and you're doing that, why would you come and come to a court appearance?
He wouldn't have came. He was subpoenaed.
He was correct.
He was forced to come.
That's the only reason why
correct.
He came.
Yeah. They knew his history. They knew his history.
So, you know, still Dallas PD was still mad at him, though. I'm sure they had to have some sort of negative view, like the nerve of this drug dealer coming to court to testify. He should have just not answered the subpoena or something, or disappeared.
But now I got a question.
Go ahead. But you got to remember this. Let me just say this right quick. That was the prosecutor, the DA.
Was forcing him to come.
Well, that prosecuted Amber. It wasn't like it was a state attorney that had came down or outside attorney. the local DA is the one that prosecuted her. So it wasn't like the police department was so in love with, maybe the police union was, but not the investigators and stuff like that that was working the case.
Yeah, that's true, because they fired her right away.
Investigators.
Yeah.
And they fired her right away.
They fired her right away.
You
got to
remember, these are a black ran department. This is a black ran city.
That's true. What were you going to say, James?
I got a question, and I want to say this first. I know all cops ain't bad cops, black or white.
How many percent did Dr. Dre say were crooked in that famous interview?
He said the same thing.
Not all cops are crooked. Only about 95% of them are.
Well, I know through history, and we all seen crooked cops.
Yeah.
They've been on the news.
I agree with it.
Okay,
I watch YouTube, what I'm saying is,
all of them ain't bad. All of them ain't bad. I know some good ones. But everything kind of outweighs itself because you got black cops, and I want you to tell me yes or no, that pretty much ride with what the white guys are doing to us. Like being on the police car one time, the white cop is talking shit. Now here you got this black cop come and hit you with a stick, dumbass niggas. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. What I'm trying to say is,
I know what you're saying.
Black cops gonna rock and roll with that white cop, regardless if he's wrong or not.
You will be surprised that you know who to do that in front of and who not to. You know what black cops to do stuff like that in front of, and which black cops you know not to do that in front of, and there's a lot of white cops you can't do that in front of because they didn't tolerate it as well. But you have a percentage of cops that was brutal or heavy-handed is what we used to call them.
So within the police force, they have cliques.
They know who's who.
I'm riding with you. I'm not riding with him because he don't agree with certain my tactics. And that's where everything gets fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can't nobody ever say that some of these guys, myself, ain't victims of police brutality. That we are not victim to, you know, getting killed like just because. And there's nobody getting time for it. Nobody's getting time for it.
It's changing, though. More and more cops are getting sent to prison than ever before.
But if we really wake up, like now, these gang truces and all of this shit, if we wake up, those truces change a lot of shit. You're rewriting history because it changed a lot of shit. Because a gang mentality brings a lot of bullshit to your neighborhood. Without all that, a whole bunch of shit changes. A whole lot of people are safe. You see what I'm saying? And that's what these guys got to realize. I'm saving lives by rocking with this truce. That's what everybody got to realize. We saving lives every goddamn day that we don't fight. That we ain't out there in the car doing a drive-by. Or we ain't posted up at a liquor store. We ain't, you know, I'm just, how do we get past the half-ass bullshit that the police bring to each city, to each neighborhood? The ones that ain't no good. How do we depict and get them the fuck out the city and then move on?
And like I always said, and I said in a couple of podcasts earlier, it's the only way that I know of is to try to take as much as you can on the streets and complain. Because what I know about the police department that I worked at when I was a police officer, the first time, generally shit happened to you, that somebody come in and complain. The second time, an eyebrow is raised. Well, you get the third complaint of the same type of bullshit, yeah, they coming down. They coming down on you.
My uncle went in, yeah, and the police, no, I ain't going to use my uncle's. I'm going to use one of my club brothers. We on the 108th and Broadway, our motorcycle club. I think it's 77 down the street. The police department is down the street. Goes in there to complain about these cops keep coming over here tripping. The police told him to get the fuck out of our station.
The police, but not the sergeant. But go ahead.
No, the sergeant.
Okay.
You got to request the sergeant. Yeah. I want to file a complaint against
the commander.
So he wanted to know what's the complaint about, what he did with the woman. So he went into detail a little bit and told him, this is why I woke. How do I get the form to bam? He told him to get out of there.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is police officers police themselves. I got your back. I don't care what these...
But trust me, they police themselves, but trust me, Internal Affairs Department, let's say the big agencies like LAPD and stuff.
That's
like
the
that.
Shit that people need to learn. Ooh, how to get
to the internal.
That complaint out when the police make you get out of their station.
Yeah.
And then, because once they make you get out the station, you go, fuck this shit.
I actually filed a police report, a complaint, last week against the LAPD.
Yeah.
They pulled me over, and then they handcuffed me because I wouldn't keep my rear windows down. I learned that I don't have to roll down any window.
No.
I could just roll down the window a half inch to give them my driver's license, my registration, and insurance. But they asked me to roll down my rear windows. Right. I actually did, but then I rolled them back up. They got mad, pulled me out, cuffed me. But so I filed a complaint against
them. It would have been a difference if you knew the penal code to that, and then they... Because you talk
There's no penal code for that. Maybe there is. But
there's a penal code to everything that they do.
No, penal codes are for violations. For violations.
A vehicle code.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, you have rights and stuff like that. You just better be right. You better have a tape and something going on. And two.
If you record, they're more cotton.
They getting paid to stand out there that whole hour, 30 minutes while they fucking over you or messing over you. If you would have just complied, 5 minutes, you would have got a ticket and been on by your way. But you probably got a ticket. I don't know if you did or didn't.
I did get a ticket.
And you probably wasted an hour of your life.
It was about 20, 25 minutes. It held me up.
But I suggest you comply.
But I'm a person that really covets my rights.
Correct.
I love any right that I have.
But you gotta know them, though.
Well, I know that I'm not required.
Your limits.
When you get pulled over by the police, you're only required to show them your driver's license. If it's a traffic violation, driver's license, insurance, and registration. That's it.
Yeah. And let me just say that. But then that's when they come up with the bullshit. That's when they start creating. Oh, I smell an odor of marijuana coming out of your car.
Quote, unquote, probable cause.
Yeah, probable cause.
But shouldn't if you don't smell it, but see, that's where they should get caught up at.
Who's out there to say, the watch commander ain't going to be out there to say you're lying? It's just my word against this.
But when you request a watch commander, they got to bring one out.
They bring a field supervisor out. But they ain't got to that quick. But by that time, I done got you out of the car, did whatever to you, and then sent you on your way. My point is, The pen
is a mother.
Is more powerful than what everybody always said. You take that badge off, I'll kick your ass. You take that gun, if you didn't have that gun, I'll whoop your ass. That ain't what's gonna put you in a motherfucking courtroom or a penitentiary. It's this pen that's what's gonna put you in the courtroom.
Exactly.
The story
you ain't
that
got
I
to
tell.
Say nothing.
The story that you embellish.
That I tell.
You know, and there are a lot of officers that are in jail for filing false police reports.
And that's the thing that I love about now is because what? We all has a camera in our hand. But you got to remember, when I was a cop back in the 90s and y'all was walking around with a $5,000 VHS camera. That was all you had. It was a big old VHS camera. And how many of y'all had that? But now, fortunately, there's you know, cameras on pretty much in everybody's
hand. It's just crazy because you can't police them. You can't say
nothing
to them.
Well, you can. Y'all have a lot of power now because of this.
Well, you got a camera, but how many motherfuckers is going to get that camera? They tell you to turn it off.
Well,
you don't turn it off, they get more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They're
going to push you down. They're going to find a way to take you to jail, to take your phone. So it's like you're in a no-win situation. Yeah. My whole thing of this whole situation, we got to fix ourselves because they not going to stop doing what they doing. We got to stop doing what we doing and do some other shit because what we doing ain't working.
Well, I know what I'm doing is perfectly legal and honest, and I got yanked out my car, handcuffed, and held up for 20 minutes, and I missed my son's 3-mile race that he was doing, and I captured it all on video.
Because you wanted to be right.
Well, not that
a
I
black man I wanted, that sounds like you got to be a little education.
I want it to be respected.
If you wasn't doing anything, like, what would hurt the roll your window down?
It's not going to hurt anything. But if I'm not required to do that, I don't want the state telling me to do things that I'm not required to do, Reg. Okay. You know,
that's just like them. They telling
that's
us
why you missed your son's 3-mile race.
And it's but it's the principle of it. Right. And I filed the complaint. And
ain't nothing gonna happen.
The sergeant asked me if I would submit the video that I captured as part of the complaint. I called my lawyer. I had Carl Douglas on Super Dial. He told me submit the video. Because he said, if you don't submit the video, they're going to say you were uncooperative and your complaint will not get through the system as rigorous as you want it to. So give them what they want. Yeah. Submit that video, which I did. And I'm going to follow up and see what happens.
He may get a reprimand. Yeah. You know, he may get a reprimand.
Because now looking at it and talking to more people, the officers were asking me to do things that I wasn't required to do.
Officer safety. Yeah. And they always go back to officer safety. You watch, you go here and work.
Yeah. They were already telling me that there. Yeah, it's for our safety, Mr. Alonzo. Yeah. It's for our safety.
But how the hell are you afraid of me? Safety. You got a gun. I'm sitting in the car with my hands on the steering wheel. How you feel?
Yeah, my hands are on the steering wheel.
You handcuffed. And so this is for my safety and your safety. We're going to handcuff you.
You got two guys, like James said, two guys with guns. My hands are on the steering wheel, but they're scared of me.
You're scared of me. Come on, man. That's bullshit. Come on. I just don't get it. But I think sooner or later we'll be able to fix it, and I hope we fix it soon. We had a good start. I don't know if Reggie might like this one, but we got to get rid of this damn Donald Trump, man. Huh. And we
want to. I'm a Republican? Man. Well, I hate Donald Trump more than I hate.
Okay, well,
and hate the shit y'all talk about.
And this ain't to put no blame on nobody, because we got to be accountable for ourselves and the shit we do.
Well, we got to get our vote, but we got to make sure.
Yeah, we got to vote. But I'm just saying,
our friends go in and who act like they like us and go in there and when they go in that voting booth and vote.
But there's so much triggeration with that shit.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers with these computers can take votes and put them over here.
Yeah, that happens a little bit. I believe a lot of our friends' parents who act like they like us was going in their little boots. And I'm not talking about California. I'm talking about mainly back in the South and places like that. And they were voting for that motherfucker.
Oh, man.
And they hated.
It's so mean.
They hated that black Obama era and all of that so much where.
They got a little black boy that, was just at the White House talking. I ain't with all that old other shit. Yeah. You see that?
I love Donald Trump. You are the best thing, son.
And Donald Trump is helping black people and black people.
Well, Kanye back justifying this shit. He had got quiet on for a while, but he back justifying why he supported Donald Trump.
All right, let's answer some of these questions from some of our listeners and now viewers to the Gangster Chronicles. Let's start off with a question from Beatty Akachi. I believe this is a woman. She's from Chicago. She's from the south side of Chicago. And she says that the youth in Chicago are involved in what she's calling revenge killings, similar to Los Angeles. But these are small areas in Chicago that are killing each other. What can solve this problem? That's a question that she's addressing the Gangster Chronicles.
You basically do what the guys in L.A. are doing. You find some older guys that's willing to talk to the other side and ask them, can we get together to stop this mayhem shit? So getting the older guys to come in and bring everybody together and conversate about what's going on, if you don't do that, it's just going to constantly be the same shit. You got to. I mean, these guys is killing each other. Do they know why they're killing each other over territory? What?
Well, Chicago, the south side of Chicago has a lot of gangs similar to Compton, L.A., and Watts. I'm not sure if their conflict is rooted in those gangs, but I do know the Chicago gangs are a little bit more organized out there because they actually have, like, rankings where they give titles.
They need to go to the Kings to the top.
Yeah, they need to go to the leadership.
And do what L.A. doing. Ceasefire and put a stop to the shit. They call in truces. They can do it out there, too.
Chicago actually has a higher murder rate than we have out here, believe it or not. They have a city of like a million less than we do.
They need to stop there.
And they have about 100 to 150 more homicides than we do. So it's a serious, something serious going on there.
They got to get with the high power, and they need to try to figure out how to stop it.
Maybe they could learn from Los Angeles. But the thing is, Chicago is not influenced by any Los Angeles gang culture like some of these other cities.
But it's not about that, though. It's about what they're seeing and how they
self-destructive. People from L.A. can go to Dallas and have influence, go to Houston because of the gang culture. There's all these L.A. gangs in these cities. There are no L.A. gangs in Chicago at all.
GDs.
Yeah, it's GDs, Vice Lords, Gangster Disciples, all this other type of gang structure. So we, as the West Coast, have influence in Phoenix, San Diego, Houston, Memphis. I mean, the list goes on, but we have zero influence in Chicago.
Well, it's not about us doing Chicago.
But we're leading the way right now.
But what I'm saying, no. California has nothing to do with the Chicago beef. Those guys in Chicago need to get off their ass, the OGs or whatever they want to call themselves out of there, the Kings, the Disciples, whatever. Those guys need to get up and say, just like everybody else, it's time to stop this shit. We ain't getting paid for this. We killing ourselves, and they need to stop it. At least cease fire. Figure out what the hell is going on. Try to come to some type of medium and try to rectify the situation. Everybody needs to do what California's doing.
I agree. The brothers in the south side of Chicago especially, and also the west side of Chicago got some problems. But, I mean, if you could start it somewhere.
California's doing. We got four neighborhoods that has a truth.
Well, you got to start, Reggie. It don't matter if it was just one neighborhood. It's a start.
Two gangs in California that has a truth.
It's more than two.
Another state. Okay,
it's more than two. Cause I look at the East Coast as nine separate sets.
Because you said because they're so big.
Well, they got a set in Carson, the 190s. They got the six pack is four different sets. Yeah. Then you got the 7-6s.
Fuck the titles.
But what I'm saying, that's nine neighborhoods.
Exactly. But the titles don't matter no more. Let's not label these guys. These guys have said we tired. Let's stop this. I don't care if it's just one hood.
How am I glorifying California?
Follow our example. I ain't say follow no motherfucking example. On no camera, nowhere else.
What California is doing
is calling a truce. So what they need to do is just like California doing. California. Call a truce. You got to start somewhere with killing each other.
Yeah.
You need a truce.
Well, I don't know. The whole state of California. In the county, it's about 1,000.
Okay.
County of Los Angeles, about 1,000.
It don't matter. Okay. It don't matter.
But the truth.
If one take off.
The truth does cover more. Actually, it covers a lot of gangs. The nine East Coast gangs, the two Kitchen Crips, that's 11. The Florencia Treses have about five separate hoods. So that's like 16. So we got 16 separate communities within South LA that have said, We're gonna put our weapons down.
If they didn't have a truce, how many motherfuckers would die today, tomorrow, all the way to next month? How many motherfuckers would be dead?
And I could tell you this: there's a meeting this Friday to try to create another truce. I can't really speak on it because I don't want to jinx this meeting. Yeah. But if it goes through, that meeting will cover that truce will cover about 20 separate neighborhoods.
And that's good. So it's just a trend. They started it. We're going to follow. If it go all the way through, that's good. Everybody know that there's going to be some assholes that this is the only thing I know. So it can't be over. You got a lot of cats that's going to be thinking like that. You're going to have cats in the penitentiary thinking it can't be over.
Chicago got to be like, he's telling us to follow.
Let me clarify what Reggie is saying. What makes it effective? The guys in Chicago, the leaders of these Chicago gangs, need to get with themselves and talk about some type of truce. They need to come. They need to get in the middle with each other. And when I said, like L.A. is doing, you don't have to follow L.A. lead. Y'all, your own men got your own thing going in Chicago. So if y'all want to stop it, it can be stopped. If y'all don't want to stop it, can't nobody tell y'all shit.
Yeah, definitely. The leadership of the Chicago gangs and the South Side need to come together, because without them, these youngsters ain't going to stop on their own.
No.
You know, they ain't going to just say, let's put the guns down.
So the solution is, and one of the problems or the solutions is, put more money into the park and recreations and stuff.
Well,
like
money
that.
Is something totally different. But then even with money, you got a lot of brothers out there that got money. Ain't bringing it to the table.
Yeah, the question was, what can solve this problem? Definitely got to put some more resources into the community. No doubt about it, you know?
Exactly.
Park and recreation, education from the bottom, from the schools, from the elementary.
What they need to do is put back whooping your kids' ass. Because once they took that in, you're scared to go to jail for child abuse. Now your kids can run wild and do what the fuck they want to.
Or really having a camp or somewhere for them to go when they don't want to listen. Because right now you're threatening your kids to do it, but you really can't do it. Because then I'm telling you, oh, well, you know we're going to charge you. We got to take over and raise your kid. You know we're going to charge you.
My nephew.
That's how I used to scare parents not to drop their kids off and say, well, you know we're going to build. Oh, they're going to build me? Oh, okay. Well, I'll take him home. I'll take him home. You know, that's
no. But our kids today, they feel they can do whatever they want to do because the system is protecting them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It ain't like how I was growing up, getting the shit beat out of you.
Yeah.
Now, if you touch your kid, they whoop me.
Yeah.
And you subject to go do 6, 7, 8 months or a year in jail because you chastising your child. Without chastising your kid can do what he want to do. Now that I got him in the system, is 9 times out of 10, I'm going to kill him or somebody going to kill him or he going to be in the system.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
You don't have nowhere to go. Yeah. So how do you even protect your own kids when everything is against you?
Well, let's answer another question. This is from the same person. She says that in the South Side of Chicago, families cannot afford to buy fish, but the youth are getting their hands on firearms. Do you guys believe or have an idea that the government is putting weapons in our community?
Well,
where do guns come from? Automatics, but how they get them?
Well,
just like us,
breaking
in motherfucking houses, breaking in the gun shops. I mean, they could have got the guns from anywhere.
Yeah.
But why those type of guns in a gun shop in the hood?
Well, you know, Los Angeles got rid of all the gun stores. You cannot buy a gun in the city of Los Angeles.
That's good. But you can go elsewhere.
Yeah, you can go to Culver
City. They got
5 miles out.
Yeah.
They got magazines that you can fill out. All you got to do is have a female that got a clean record. It's easy to get a pistol. So, I mean,
it's a lot harder in California than it is in most states.
It's not hard to get it.
But it's harder. Some states, they just go buy it.
Arizona, you got love.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying to her is the guns could have came from anywhere. And you can get a gun from anywhere. Especially if you that guy and know what you're doing, you can get anything you want.
What she want to hear? And what people want to say is that, just like the Freeway Rick thing and the Chico Brown, where some government agents, CIAs, was dropping off drugs into our communities.
You saying that can't happen? That haven't happened?
I know we know of rumors that are out there with the with the box cars.
He said rumors. It's rumors that the police broke over the motherfucker.
Not the police. Or the government.
Government. Yeah. Those are rumors or actual facts.
Well, I think that I've heard the story that in around 1976, 1977, a bunch of boxcar trains were just parked off the tracks by Florence, near Florence and Crenshaw. It's the old tracks.
Look at what type of guns those were. These niggas, they won't even pick up those guns now.
Mm-hmm.
That was out in 76.
I mean, those guns were probably effective for 1976.
But we're talking about now. I mean, it's
So
it has to still be going on if it happened
that's
in 1976.
Correct. I've never heard of any of this happening in the modern era.
Yeah.
But I did hear of some pretty credible stories. Two stories. One that happened on the Florence tracks. where the brother saw these trains sitting there for 2 or 3 days and decided to break the padlocks. And they told me from there were bikes, there were toys, and then one of them had guns in it.
I remember back then when they had the, them damn trailers, they had the mopeds. Yeah. Remember them little bitty-ass things? I forgot the name of them damn things. They was called something else. But all of L.A. had one of them motherfuckers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean...
Who knows?
But the question is, were those trains parked there deliberately so that the brothers in the neighborhood would eventually go in there and take the guns out?
I sound like an idiot if I say yeah, but it's possible. Yeah. There's a possibility that they was. But if you ever lived right there on... where the train come?
Alameda?
On Alameda. No, well, they come on Alameda, but then you got...
The one that goes right through Watts?
Going through Watts.
Yeah.
They used to stop.
That's another... The second story I heard was a train on those tracks.
Yeah, they used to just stop. And it wasn't nothing to popping them open.
Santa Fe, Alameda.
So, I mean, shit has happened. Shit has happened.
Well, I would say to her that, yes, it's probably happened, but that was, what, 30, 40 years ago
that we know of.
Now
it's totally different.
Yeah, I doubt it's happened in the modern period.
So outdated. That they
in fact, in California, there's so many laws and so many restrictions that try to minimize gun access. I mean, they took the magazine from 15 to 10, which I don't think does anything.
You get more time now for the magazine than you get for the gun. It's a felony to have a magazine over 10 rounds in it.
Unless you're...
It's a misdemeanor unless
you... And then grandfathered in. No, if you're grandfathered in, you've owned this gun.
About now, but you can't even go buy it.
No, you can't buy those anymore.
Buy a gun with
well, your mother ain't even gonna take my gun, and I can't protect myself, so... That's crazy.
So I don't think there's any conspiracy by the government in the modern period, meaning from the 90s to current, of them dropping off guns, at least in Los Angeles.
If they did in the 70s, they still doing it.
Well, there's no stories about it happening after the 270s incidents that I know of.
I hear niggas all the time.
This is a big-ass world. And motherfuckers got shit all over this place.
Yeah, I hear all the time niggas
It ain't like you can't make a phone call and get what you want. Yeah. But, I mean, that's just something you can't prevent.
Well, there was a guy years ago that worked for a gun company here in Southern California, and he was actually stealing some of the guns and selling them. And the ATF started to surveil him.
You got people out there making the guns. It's not hard, man.
Well, it's kind of difficult to make a 40 caliber Smith & Wesson.
How is it difficult? How is it hard? If you go in a gun magazine, you can buy half of the parts to
You could put a gun together if you have all the parts.
Man.
But are you telling me you got brothers with a lathe in their backyard and they're cutting the metal and they're shaping the shaft?
Okay, picture this. And how many people...
Because you need a lathe. You need a lathe machine to make a gun from scratch.
How many people do you think that had a gun store that went out of business and took all their shit and moved over here?
But that's not making guns.
Man, they are.
There's people that's doing illegal activities.
It's people making... Yeah.
But you can't make a gun from scratch unless you got the materials.
Next door to you...
The materials is not hard.
People go and just pay $300 or $400 for a gun and bring it across the state.
I don't know. I've worked on lathes before, and those machines are big. They're huge. They're cumbersome. The average person.
I'm gonna tell you something after we get off.
And guns are too cheap and too accessible, and that's what we.
Well,
need
we should be criticizing the manufacturers. My son asked me this amazing question when he was 11 years old. He said, "Why is it illegal to have a gun or use a gun, but it's legal for them to make the guns?" Yeah. And I was like, "Wow,
it's legal for them to make the guns because they're making the guns for people that they believe that need them." For the police, for
hunters.
Yeah, but the manufacturers are never accountable.
It's illegal to use to have a gun when you go out there and commit a crime, killing somebody.
You don't even got to commit a crime for it to be illegal.
Well, if you got a gun and it's in your name, then they come to your house. They're gonna get that gun back.
Yeah,
it's yours. They're gonna get that gun back. But if like me, everything I ever owned is street bought. With an understanding. Don't get caught with the motherfucker. So, but they my guns. It ain't in my name. So, I mean, it's illegal to have them, though.
Yeah, but they even try to take my legal guns from me.
They can't take
them. I know. I said they try to. All the time they try to. I have it locked in the box. They say, hey, is it loaded or unloaded? It's unloaded. Well, open it up. Let me see.
You must got a pretty-ass gun.
No, that's because he's an asshole. He don't know how to talk to the cops. That's his problem.
Guess how many convictions that I have, Reggie?
None.
Zero.
But
I'm never doing anything wrong.
The point is,
I'm not committing any crime.
Trying. If you, they wouldn't be trying. You wouldn't
be. Dude, they never been to jail before.
If I was in Texas, they wouldn't say nothing about my gun in the back seat. It's the state of California is trying to infringe on legal gun owners all the time. You ain't heard that argument before? They are trying to take the guns out of our hands. From legal people, too.
There's too many goddamn guns on this planet for them to even do that. They can suggest, but you got people got their shit buried. You got people that got shit here.
There's over 300 and something million guns just in the United States.
That's why I said they're too cheap. They just need to raise the price up.
All right, let's answer one more question. I think, James, you might want to answer this.
No, I don't.
Can you guys do a segment on David Kenner, the attorney? I think he was pretty sketchy. You did you ever meet David Kenner, James?
Yes, I met David Kenner. My dealings with David Kenner. David Kenner was a cool cat. To my belief, David Kenner made shit happen. And if Suge wanted something, he made it happen. David Kenner cleaned a lot of Suge Knight cases. Because Suge used to have a stack of assaults. He had a lot of assaults that never went to court. David Kenner was a cool cat. Everybody has their faults. I'm talking about me dealing with him. He ain't never did nothing wrong to me. He ain't never came at me messed up. He was there. David Kenner actually came to Compton Court when me and Timmy had that situation and spoke up. And we here. But that was, we talked about that before, that the other guys, it was their fault, yada, yada. But, yeah, David Kenner has, he came to, what is this new jail right there on Alameda? I got arrested up there trying to get my car out of the witch column, and they locked me up. This lady jailed on Alameda. So I called Suge. David Century came Station. Down there, bailed me out, huh?
Century Station.
Oh, that's what they call it?
Used to call it Firestone, Firestone shit, but they're Century Station now.
No, right here under the by the
railroad tracks.
Yeah. So came and got me out. So everything I've dealt with him and talked to him, nothing but good.
Well, what they want to get into, and these little young kids that think David Kenner has something to do with stealing money from Tupac and all of that stuff is what they're getting into. And the paperwork with Shaddy and this. David Kenner was a great attorney dealing with what he was dealing with. He did nothing wrong. He wasn't the Jewish guy that controlled the black guys or anything like that. He was just a guy, an attorney that was getting paid a good amount that was smart to try to keep niggas out of jail and that's all. But they want to make David Kenner this big bat. He saved Snoop's ass. He saved Suge's ass. He got him a great deal on the Stanley Brothers matter. Suge just messed up and got his probation violated. He saved Corrupt ass. I can tell you,
Twin.
Yeah,
when we fucked up the Rams,
I can just tell you. But Suge had other attorneys. Angela Wallace used to be his attorney on some things where she sat next to him and let him just take a case under one of his uncle names and shit. So, there was attorneys that did shit like that. But David Kenner, there's no smut. People want to make things where it's not. But
was he mostly a contract attorney? Because he wasn't a criminal defense lawyer.
He was a criminal.
Shit, he did all that.
No, but he didn't do
a criminal attorney. He had Mario and
Let me ask you this: did he take people? Did he do trials? Criminal defense.
That's
trials.
That's what he's doing now, still to this day.
Criminal defense.
Criminal defense.
But back in the death row days, what type of law was he specializing in?
He came to court when me and Nick Bone had our issue. He was the attorney on record on that case. I mean, so he was. I mean, all the shit people. He had so much work with Suge's people, with Nate Dogg and all of that, where he branched out and had other attorneys do things, but he was Suge's guy. You know, he was his Rudy, you know, that's for Donald Trump right now. He was Suge's attorney like that.
So did he work on the deals, like the contracts and negotiations?
Both. That's what he did both. He was able to cross over and do it. He wasn't as good. And, you know, because he was a criminal attorney.
But he did a lot of, yeah.
But he did it all. But shit, yeah. He was so smart where he can be like, but he hired other entertainment attorneys, Peter Lopez, and who's Dre's attorney now, and Howard King, and he hired them to do stuff. But he was Suge's attorney. Business. He really was Suge's business manager.
And I think on a previous episode of the Gangster Chronicles, you mentioned Kenner as being instrumental in the release of Tupac from prison.
The appeal bond.
Yeah.
He went in, but that was his, that's what he was good at. Criminal attorney. But he also did other type of attorney work for Suge.
When was the last time you guys were in touch with David Kenner?
I spoke to him about 2 or 3 months ago. I talk to him all the time. Just check on him. See how he's doing.
He doesn't do interviews too often, does he?
He can. It's attorney kind of, you know, attorney's confidential.
Oh, yeah, the attorney-client privilege? Because most people want to ask
about those the Tupac deal. Why you wrote it on a piece of paper? Why did, you know, they want to ask all that.
But he could definitely talk about some of his experience working with Death Row.
But why? What will benefit?
Because he was right there.
You got $100,000? Come up with $100,000. I'm sure
you
will.
Okay. All right. You wanted to talk about, before we close out the show, you wanted to talk about something regarding Suge and this the lawsuit that Michael Harris, Harry O, and his then-wife sued Death Row and won a judgment, I believe, a few years back. Is there some sort of update regarding that judgment?
I think Suge's people got it backwards because the bankruptcy got the judgment discharge. But in the next couple of days, y'all going to be hearing something about a press conference or something about the judgment being finally totally dismissed. What's that about? I don't know, because the bankruptcy got it discharged. Suge's name is probably better than all of our names right now because he has no debt.
Zero debt.
He has zero debt, unless he's making some credit cards or some bills while he's in prison. But
so basically, the judgment that awarded Michael Harris over $100 million will be vacated?
It's something that's going to be in the news.
So
is he trying to come at Suge for the money?
Do
we know about the bankruptcy?
Once you go to bankruptcy court, it's in their hands.
But if he know that and he know ain't nowhere
that's
he,
what I said.
He can get his money, why would he even go
I don't
to
think it? It's Harry O. I just think it's something that them went across the desk. And, you know, Suge and them going to try to exploit that and make a big thing out of people on his side of the count.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Out there in the podcast world, we want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. Be sure to visit the Gangster Chronicles podcast website at thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com to get tickets to our live event on Wednesday, October 23rd in Bellflower, California at the French Quarter Creole Bar and Grill at 16728 Bellflower Boulevard in the city of Bellflower, which is just outside of Los Angeles.
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.